Today is the seventh and next to the last message in a series called Countercultural from the Old Testament book of Daniel. The title of today's message is Beast Mode, and you'll see why here in just a moment. We've been walking through the book of Daniel, and at the end, towards the end of the book of Daniel, God wants his people to know about the future. And so he's going to give a series of visions to Daniel. You know, we love to sort of look into the future. We love to sort of make predictions and guesses about what's coming down the line. Here we are, you know, we're coming, got less than 40 games left in the regular season, Major League Baseball. You know, who's going to make it to the playoffs? Who'll make it to the World Series? You know, football is getting ready to start. You know, how's my team going to do this year? Who do you think, you know, win the conference title? Who do you think will be in the playoffs? How will the Texans do, et cetera, et cetera? We love to make predictions, and every day on your news feed, you know, somebody's making a prediction. I don't know about you, but like virtually every day, I check my weather app. I want to know, okay, what's coming down the line weather-wise? You know, is it going to be 99, or is it going to be 98? Or, you know, what's it going to be here for the next few days? Well, here's the flow from the book of Daniel. Chapters 1 through 6 is about life in exile, stories and narratives. You know, some of them very well known. We've walked through the fiery furnace, handwriting on the wall. Last week, Daniel in the lion's den. But the last six chapters are about life after exile, prophecies. Prophecies. And the second half of the book is a series of dreams, visions, and prophecies. And so, like this morning's message, what we'll read, this is prophetic literature. And prophetic literature often uses symbols, visions, images. Often they're quite complex, and sometimes the prophecy you can't understand until after the fact and you look back on it. But the main point of prophecy is this: though you may not know the future, God does. Tomorrow is in his hands. The day after tomorrow is in his hands. And prophecy opens up a door, opens up a window to let you, and it lets you know who wins. Now, again, just to remind you, Daniel is living in an exile. You know, he's from Jerusalem. He and a number of other Jewish people have been taken into exile in Babylon, and they're wondering, okay, here we are. We are lovers and followers of God, but now we live in a culture that's not very friendly to our God, not very friendly to our values. How shall we function? Okay, we've been talking about that. And then today, though, we look at a prophetic vision given to Daniel. You ready? Here we go. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, stop right there. You're saying, wait a minute. Isn't that the handwriting on the wall guy? I thought we passed him, a couple of weeks ago. We did. This is a flashback. Remember last week we were in the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Well, this vision we're reading here is about 10 years before the lion's den episode. So this is a flashback. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. And visions passed through his mind as he's lying in bed. And he wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, beast mode. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had wings of an eagle. And I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being. And the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. And after that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, a third one. One that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had four wings like those of a bird. And this beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. I mean, a lion-like beast, a bear-like beast, a leopard-like beast. They're mutations. And now you got super beasts coming up. Verse 7, after that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth, robo beast. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. And while I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Okay, everything pretty clear so far? Most scholars think that, and you'll see why in just a little bit, most scholars think that this is a prophecy about four empires, four regimes that will come down the line and will precede the coming of Jesus. And looking back on it, most scholars think, there's some debate on this, you may disagree, okay, fine. Most scholars think that these four beasts refer to the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. And so on one level then, this prophecy is about four very specific flesh and blood empires. I think, though, it's important to step back and realize that all through history, there have been, there always will be regimes and empires that are opposed to the purposes and values of God. Always. All right. So there's the first part of this dream. And it's intimidating. It's scary. You say, that's not a dream. That's not a vision. That's a nightmare. I mean, these four beasts, and the last one is so brutal and terrifying and intimidating. Ah, the dream continues. The vision continues. Verse 9. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Who is the Ancient of Days? Answer. This is not a trick question. God. The Ancient of Days is another name for? One more time. The Ancient of Days is another name for? This is God right here. The Ancient of Days, meaning he's been around a long time, a long, long time. And his clothing was as white as snow. What does that mean? He's purity. Our God is so good. He's never done anything, thought anything, said anything that was impure. How could you not love a God like this? All that he does is beautiful and good and wholesome. And the hair of his head was white as wool. Now, we live in a culture where ageism is around everywhere, where age is viewed as a detriment, not an asset. But here when it says his hair is white as wool, his hair is gray. In other words, the Bible says it's a good thing to have gray hair. Just saying. But this is the point here where he's saying God wasn't born yesterday. He's been around. And he continues to describe him. And his throne was flaming with fire, power. And its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. This is the judgment motif you find all the way through Scripture. And then I continued to watch. Because of the boastful words the horn was speaking, I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but they were allowed to live for a period of time. He says here, the Ancient of Days, God himself, these intimidating, oppressive beasts. When God says enough, it's enough. He doesn't have to get a running start. He doesn't have to lift weights, you know, for a month to get geared up for it. When he says enough, it's enough. And it's done. Listen, throughout the Bible, God periodically judges people and situations. But the Bible also tells us that a day is going to come. Listen, we live in such a fallen world where so many horrible things happen. We read about them every day in the newspaper or on your phone. And we shake our heads and we wonder, can this ever be redeemed? Will there ever be justice across the board? Listen, one day there will be. The Ancient of Days will take his seat. The books will be open. There is a throne. He occupies it. And God is going to set things right. And so in this world, where there's ongoing injustice and serious trouble, don't get up, don't give up, don't be overwhelmed, don't give in to despair. And also, there's a very, very important implication here, because you remember what the New Testament says about don't pay back evil for evil. Rather, leave room for God's vengeance. I will repay, says the Lord. And he will. Now, the story continues, and I want you to look here at verse 13. And he says, now in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. Ah. In the New Testament, when Jesus speaks about himself, what was the phrase, what was the most often used self-description from Jesus? Answer, Son of Man. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. In other words, like a human one, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. You get this? Daniel says, I saw those beasts, and they were intimidating. But here's the Ancient of Days with white hair and white clothes and power and thousands upon thousands. And he said to those beasts, enough is enough. And in this vision of God in heaven and the Ancient of Days, I'm looking. And there's a human-like figure there. Someone like a son of man. And he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And he, that is the Son of Man, was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion, whose dominion? The dominion of the Son of Man. Is an everlasting dominion, not an empire, a dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never, ever be destroyed. Now, this is a prophecy about whom? Answer, Jesus. One more time. This is a prophecy about whom? Answer, Jesus. Who's a combination of divine and human? Answer, Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus was on trial just before he was crucified? He's standing before the high priest Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin would be like the Jewish religious Supreme Court, 70 people, and 71 if you count the high priests. And this is recorded in Matthew 26. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You have said so, Jesus replied. And now Jesus is going to quote from Daniel chapter 7. He's going to say, that prophecy about the Son of Man, this one who's both divine and human, that's me. I'm the fulfillment of that prophecy. You said so, Jesus replied, but I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of glory. I am both divine and human. I'm the fulfillment of Daniel 7. And when the high priest heard that, what did he do? He tore his clothes. And he said, he spoke in blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you've heard the blasphemy. So I say all that to say, this is a prophecy about Jesus. Verse 15, I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the meaning of this. And so he told me, and he gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts and the four are four kings that will rise from the earth. But the holy people of the Most High, who's that? You, will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Well, then I wanted to know the meaning of that fourth beast, the super beast. Let's skip down to verse 21. Well, as I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the holy people of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. Now watch what happens. Let's read quickly here, verse 23. So he gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms. It will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The ten horns are ten kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue three kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people, try to change the set times and the laws. The holy people will be delivered into his hands for a time, times, and half a time. And many scholars think that what that simply means is a definite period of time. God will allow it, the oppression, the persecution, but it has a definite beginning, a definite ending, a midpoint. Verse 26, but the court will sit. The Ancient of Days will sit. And his power, the evil one's power, will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. And then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom, God's kingdom, will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him from the least to the greatest. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts. My face turned pale, and I kept the matter to myself. Okay. Why do you think at the end Daniel was deeply troubled? You say, well, my goodness, that's an intimidating vision he saw. Yes, but it ended well. Those four beasts, but they were defeated. They're no match for the Ancient of Days. And God himself has an eternal kingdom that lasts forever and ever, and the people of the Most High, you, me, are blessed throughout eternity. Why do you think Daniel was troubled? I don't know for sure, but I think it's because he was wondering how long. Why not now? Why not just set things right today? Why not just right now? The only reason I can give that I can quote from Scripture is that God is giving people a chance. What does the Bible say? He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And today is a day of opportunity. Today is a day of an opportunity to respond to the Lord for you, for anyone the world over. But there is coming a day when that opportunity is no more and the books are opened. and the beast mode is no more. And God says, enough. Now, knowing the big picture, knowing the end of the story, doesn't take away the pain that you experience in the meantime. It can take away the panic, but not necessarily the pain. It can take away the despair, but it doesn't always take away the fear. Now, I've got 4 points that I'm not going to get to. But we'll finish this up next week. But let me just share a couple here. Here's the first one. The Ancient of Days and the Son of Man sovereignly reign over all empires. Now, when I say sovereign, I know it means that word means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I don't mean to imply that God's in control of every single detail. He could be, but there are a lot of things that happen that are not His will. He wants all people to come to repentance. Not everybody comes to repentance. But I do believe that God's hand is on human history, working with and sometimes working against spiritual characters and regimes and forces to slowly but surely bring about His purposes. And He stands, in this story, one empire led to another, and the prophecy was, when God says it's enough, it's enough. I'm not telling you not to vote. It's not what I'm telling you. But I am telling you that God holds every empire in His hand. And there is no force in this universe that can rival Him. Our God is infinite. His power is not challenged by any force in the universe. And God allows His spiritual struggle to go on, but once He decides enough is enough, and if He decides for this regime to rise and this one to fall, it will do so. He stands sovereign over everything on this earth. Secondly, expect temporary trouble before eternal deliverance. Daniel's vision made something very, very clear. There are forces in this world that are hostile to God and hostile to God's people. They're powerful. They are very, very real. Therefore, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you can expect trouble and opposition and danger. Don't be surprised. Don't be tempted to give up. Now, let me state something else, though. We live at a time and a place, right? And we live in Fort Bend County, for crying out loud. We didn't come in here today thinking, oh, we may be arrested because we're coming to worship. No. We didn't think that. We live in a pretty comfortable setting, and as I talked about 3 weeks ago, one of the challenges we face, one of the tests we face is the test of, success and pretty comfortable living. Now, I'm about to say something, and it's going to sound harsher than I mean it. But I care about you. Don't be surprised at trouble and hardship and fallenness, and don't be surprised when it affects you. I sometimes meet believers that whenever they experience trouble in a fallen world and they see it up close and personally, they tend to think, God has broken His end of the deal. I thought when I became a Christian, I was signing on for God to give me the wonderful, beautiful, seamless American dream. You live in a wonderful place, but you do know this is an aberration, don't you? You do know this is an anomaly. And we have brothers and sisters around the world right now who face persecution and martyrdom. And all I'm saying is that, at times, hardship, it will touch you. The fallenness of this world will touch you. Expect temporary trouble before eternal deliverance. That promise is there. And as I mentioned a moment ago, knowing the end game, knowing the final score and the end scene, it doesn't remove all pain, but it can alleviate some of the panic and the despair. Now, let me tell you, I'm going to go ahead and fill in the blanks for you. All right, we got a couple of more on your outline. Point number three, God invites all nations into his eternal kingdom. We'll talk more about that next week. Point number four, you have a dual citizenship. And one of the things we'll talk about next week, as a citizen, yes, our citizenship is in heaven, but right here we're called to work for the peace of the city. And next week we'll talk a little bit about doing that with the mindset of an artist and a citizen and a philosopher. And if there's one message in this Daniel series I don't want you to miss, it's next Sunday, okay? Next Sunday's the key one as we finish this series, all right? Okay, let me put the key truth of today up here on the screen. Though the nations rage against God, blessed are all those who take refuge in Jesus, the Son of Man, sent by God, the Ancient of Days, who sovereignly reigns over all.